Friends, we started last week a fall series titled In Pursuit Of. In Pursuit Of. And we're asking ourselves this question: what are we really pursuing? What are we really chasing after in our lives? Because the truth is, if we just kind of reflect for a moment, we're all chasing and we're all pursuing something, right? Just think about your own life, what it is you might be chasing, what it is you might be pursuing. Maybe it's a good job. Maybe you've got the good job, but you're pursuing keeping the good job or getting a raise in the good job or whatever, that looking for the next promotion. Some of us are pursuing a good family life, maybe good health, maybe a good social life. I've got 3 kids under 6, so tell me what that looks like, okay? Some of us are, you know, we're pursuing strength or knowledge or efficiency or comfort, or maybe there's one area of our lives where we really want to be good or perfect in, and we go after that. And we talked about, at least introduced this concept to us, how in the fall is sort of it's a season of pursuit, right? We've kind of moved away from the summer, where there's sort of this season of rest. You know, we go to the beach, we take vacations, we just kind of chill a little bit. But the fall is a time to put the pedal to the metal and start to get those rhythms again and begin to pursue things in our life. So we're all chasing, we're all pursuing after something. And what we wanted to say during this series was, let's just make sure in this season of pursuit that we're pursuing the right things, that we're pursuing things that that actually bring life. John 10:10, you might be familiar with that passage. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Right? "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." We have a saying around here. Lisa just shared that with us. Jesus, community, and purpose. But what do we put on the front? Life with Jesus, community, and purpose. Meaning that it's not just, hey, we want Jesus when we die and we get to heaven. No, we're saying that just as we read in Revelation, that God has come to us. That's the good news of Jesus Christ, the incarnation, that our everyday lives should be filled with Jesus, should be filled with community, and should be filled with purpose. And so God wants us to experience that life today. And so are we pursuing the things of God in that way? And the truth is as we shared, that our actions don't always lead toward that life. Lisa pointed out last week that our desires motivate our pursuit, if you remember. And our desires are not all wrong. They're not, you know, sometimes we think desires, but it's not that our desires are all wrong. They're not all bad. Yet when they're not aligned with God, they can become vulnerable to evil. The enemy, Satan, wants to use our desires against us. You might remember this line from John Mark Comer's book: "The main strategy of the devil is to use deceptive ideas, lies, to play into our disordered desires, the flesh, that are normalized in a sinful society, the world." And so what we have to do, what we're called to do, is to take whatever desires we have and align those with God's, in God's orders too, so that we can pursue the right things, to make room and be intentional in the things that actually bring us life. Remember, our strongest desires are not always or not actually our deepest desires. That's one thing that I took from the message last week, was that my strongest desires are not actually my deepest desires. And so there were times this week when I had this desire and, you know, it was like Lisa was on my shoulder or something like that, you know? "Hey, our strongest desires are not your deepest desires." It wasn't like that. But anyway, my point is that I had to think. Lisa, you encouraged me to think this week, what do I really want in life? Is this thing that I'm pursuing, is this really, and it's not always like evil sin. I mean, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just a decision where we're just slightly off of alignment of what God wants for us. Is this actually leading to the deeper things that I actually want? So we have to ask ourselves, will this thing lead to the fulfillment of my deepest desires? Well, I want to talk about one of our deepest desires today as we continue on in this series, and it's a good desire, it's a good pursuit, it's the desire for us to be our best self. This desire that we all have, I think we all admit, is that we all want to be the best version of ourselves that we can be, right? Anybody not want to be the best version of themselves? All right, let's have a talk afterwards, okay? We all want to be our best selves. Not a bad thing, but what I would call a lesser pursuit or a lesser desire, what I might call a human pursuit, is that one way that we pursue our best self is through our reputation or our status in the world. So we try to become our best selves by striving for a high status, a good status, a reputable status, or a perfect reputation. Now, not a bad thing to have a good reputation in the world, but if that's the only thing we're striving after, that's the only thing we're pursuing, it's actually not deep enough. So the higher pursuit, sort of the godly pursuit, plays out when we want our best self, we actually pursue righteousness. We actually pursue the righteousness of God in our lives, and that hits on the deeper need for our lives and the thing that we really want to go after. One of our theme verse for this whole series, 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is writing here to Timothy, and he says this. He says, "You, Timothy, are a man of God." Okay, so what he's saying is, he's not saying you have to become this. He's saying, no, you are this. This is your identity. This is who you are. You are a man of God, or you are a woman of God, or you are a person who is grounded in God. And so because of that, I'm asking you to run. I'm encouraging you. I'm not even encouraging you. I'm telling you to run from all these evil things. Instead, pursue righteousness, he says, in a godly life. There it is. Pursue righteousness in a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. It is a fight. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. So let's just talk for a minute about this this human pursuit for status that brings about status and reputation. You know, under this sort of pretense, in order to be our best self, what do we have to do? We have to eat right. Right, we have to work out a ton. Right, we want to have a good reputation. We want to have a good status. We have to have those social media filters just right. Right. Right? We just got to have, they got to be good, right? You know? You ever like post it on social media and somebody like texts you and you're like, oh, you posted a bad picture of me, you know, or you didn't use the right filter or something like that. You know, we get intense about these things. We have to do things the right way all the time, or at least in public, right? Maybe not in private, but in public, we have to make that money and then show that money off. Whatever it takes to look the part, to give us a good reputation in the world, to give us the proper status. And again, while those things aren't bad in themselves, right? It's good to eat healthy. It's good to, you know, exercise and do those sorts of things. What they do, what they don't do, what they ignore actually, is they ignore the issues of the heart. If you're just worried about those things, if you're just trying to have a good reputation, or for people to perceive that you're good, and you don't deal with the deeper things, then you're going to ignore the issues of the heart. And so for us to be our best selves, which is what we actually really want, it's our deepest desires, when we kind of lay our pillow or our head on our pillow at the end of the night, we have to take a look, a long look in the mirror. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 19, or chapter 17. The prophet here writing, and he says this. He says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Who really knows how bad it is?" How you know, we don't hear that message in the world today, right? You're not going on social media and it's like, man, you are just a bad, bad person. You know, we don't hear that message. And we're deceitful to ourselves at times. But the prophet goes on and says, "But I, the Lord, I search all hearts, examine the secret motives. I give all people their due reward according to what their actions deserve." Earlier, in another part of the Old Testament, in Psalm 139, David writes this. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart." Right? Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. That's a dangerous prayer to pray to God, to search you, to know what's going on in your heart, right? Maybe we should, like, do our prayer time today. You know, turn to your neighbor and ask them to search you. You know, you don't want to do that, right? But David's asking God to do this because he knows God is a good God. He says, see if there's any offensive way in me, not to condemn me and throw me out, but to lead me in the way everlasting. See, that's why we need God to search our hearts. That's why we don't want to be deceitful to who we actually are. Yeah, if God was going to throw us out, if he was going to condemn us fully and we were, then we would not want to do that. But we know that we serve a God that wants to, yes, let's be real with who we are, but move us into the ways of everlasting. God wants to do this. He has to do this. So I want us to ask ourselves today, is our status or reputation coming from what we present, or is it coming from who you really are? Do people know you because of what you present, or do they know who you really, really are? You know, I think I've told this story before, but gosh, a number of years ago, Emily and I, we went to went to see a marriage counselor, and we get in the room, and the first thing the guy says, he knew I was a pastor. He said, "I hate pastors." And I thought, oh, I'm in big trouble here, you know? I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. He said, of course, he's a Christian. He's kind of being a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, although I think maybe he didn't like me a little bit, you know, for all the improvements he was trying to get me to make. But anyway, he said, "I hate pastors. They're so fake. They're so fake. They present one thing out in the world, and then I get them in here, and then, you know, they don't want to really go deeper." Now, obviously, in our profession, if you will, in the pastoral profession, you can't share your deepest, darkest secrets with everybody. That's not what he was saying. But he's saying often you wear a mask. You've got to be careful. Now, that's absolutely true, but I think it's true for others of us as well. We sometimes wear a mask. We aren't honest with who we really are. If we're honest today, if we're honest with who we really are, we realize that there's some things that are broken. There's some things that are broken. I wrote in my notes, I don't even know if I should say this, but I said sometimes we stink. Okay, I'm just going to say that, all right? I don't know, it's not going to come out today. We really stink is what I'm going to say, all right? We're not very good people. Sometimes we're mean, sometimes we're arrogant, sometimes we're prideful or selfish. We want to be our best self, but we're not. Now, don't miss this. Because we're broken, because we are a mess, we're actually scared to show our true self to other people in order to become our best self. We're scared because we actually, when we sit down and we really realize, we like, I know there's some things that are wrong with me, some things that are broken with me. And see, when we aren't vulnerable with other people, when we don't bring our true self to the light, we actually can't become our best selves, friends. You know, if you come to church or to your therapist or to your friends or to your spouse and that you're only showing the best parts, they'll never actually get to know the real you, right? Because what people know is just what you're putting out there, but not actually who you really are. Look at what Paul says later to the same person, to Timothy, his pupil. He says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living. There it is again. Faithfulness, love, and peace. And then I didn't even see this until, Lisa, you pointed this out. But it's amazing. It says, enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Notice he's saying, pursue righteousness, but how do we do it? We actually come alongside other believers. We enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord. We do this thing together. Meaning, if we're going to pursue righteousness, we have to be in companionship with other believers who help us do this. Now, friends, understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying, hey, all your brokenness, just throw it out here. Let's get the microphone, Mark, and you know, let's just share it, okay? It's not what I'm saying. We don't want to hear all that, okay? No, what I'm saying is there should be a few people in your life, right? Jesus says, don't throw your pearl before swine, right? And not saying that, and just saying that you have to be careful. You have to be wise about who you share with. But there needs to be some people in your life that you can actually just share the good and the ugly with. Because here's another core truth. Our best self, what we really want, is actually not our perfect self. Our best self is not our perfect self. Rather, our best self is our true self being formed by God. Our best self is our true self being formed by God. Meaning, when we even go to God, sometimes we have to keep that mask on, and we don't really want to tell God how we're feeling or what's up in our hearts or what's going on in our lives. And God doesn't want that. God doesn't need that. God knows. What God really wants is you just to bring your true self. Read the book of Psalms and how the psalmists just lay it all out there and just say, this is where I am. Because then God can do the work God needs to do in your life as you are formed by God. How many of y'all know the author Bob Goff? Anybody know Bob Goff? He's got a book. He's got a number of books, but this book, Love Dove, Love Does. It's a great book. He's just like, I don't know anybody else, Krista, that has this life. You know, this guy's got all these crazy stories that take place. It's a book about life, but it has so much good. Just God shows up in many ways. He has one chapter in here called The Puppeteer, and I think we've got an image of this. So this was a painting that wherever Bob was living at the time, he passed by, and he said, I want to buy this painting, but it was very expensive at the time. He said the shop owner called it not a painting, but a piece, because that's what you call when things are expensive, right? And so he said he wanted to buy that. He saved up about a year's worth. He saved for about a year, and then he bought this piece. And when he went to go pick it up, the shop owner had two copies waiting for him. He said, what do you mean? I thought this was an original piece. Like, there's only one. He said, yes, we've got the original for you, but also we've made a copy. And what you do is you take the original and you store that somewhere, and you take the copy, and that's what you hang up, because you don't want anything to be messed up with the original. So if you know anything about Bob, what did he do? He threw the copy in the trash and he put the original up. And then a couple weeks later, his grandkids came over, and they had some rubber band fights that they often do. And one of the grandkids took the rubber band and hit the puppeteer right in the forehead. Left a big mark on him. But you would think you'd be very upset because, hey, this cost a lot of money and now it's ruined, it's broken. What Bob begins to describe, though, is he says that this actually is how sometimes we live our lives. We're afraid to get hurt. We're afraid for people to see even our brokenness in some ways. And so what we do is we put the fake out there and we keep ourselves back. We don't actually present who we really are. We're afraid of even getting hurt. We're afraid of what other people will think about us if we share, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm wrestling with this in my own lives. But this is what Bob says. He says, I realize that God doesn't think any less of us when things don't go right. Actually, I think he plans on it. What he doesn't plan on is us putting a fake version of ourselves out there to take the hit. God is the master artist and made an original version of us, priceless, that cost everything to create. He asks us to hang that version of ourselves for everyone to see. And despite our inherent beauty, each of us is tempted to hide the original so it won't get damaged. It's not that the fake version of us is worthless, it's just worth less, because it's a copy of the real us, a version we don't care as much about. He says, God invites us to be new creations, original art, and to live a life of engagement. He says to leave the cheap imitation in a closet somewhere. He doesn't say when you hang the real you out there, the priceless one, that things will go great either. It's pretty clear from watching Jesus' followers, past and present, that when you risk the real you, you're probably going to take a hit. God did when he hung Jesus out there. But one thing I do know this, I do know is this. When we do take hits, and we will, God isn't going to think less of us. Instead, he gets up early, lights a fire, sits by his favorite chair. This is his Bob talk because he does this, and gazes at the original masterpiece he made. He loves us even more, rubber band marks and all. It's a both and, right? In one hand, we are made beautiful images created by God. We're also broken. But both of those things play out when we try to hide ourselves. We're afraid of getting hurt. We're afraid of showing who we really are. And yet, we have to understand, friends, that we have a God that invites us. And we're trying to create a community here at Kairos, a safe place for us to really be who we are, brokenness and all, and share ourselves with others. God invites us to be new creations. I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul writes this. He says, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." If you know Jesus today, he is doing a new work in you. He said you're a new creation, sort of objectively. We talk about in the Greek in the indicative, meaning it's happened, it's true because of what Jesus did on the cross. But also, we're becoming new creations as we walk this journey of faith together. He says, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave us this wonderful ministry of reconciliation, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And that's our invitation here this fall, friends. That we would come back to God. Not to be your true self as the world tells us, but to give your true self to God. Right? The world just says, hey, be your true self. What Jesus invites you is to take your true self and put it at the feet of the cross. Give your true self to God. Let him change you. Let him mold you. Let him be able to change your heart and pursue that righteousness that God has for you. We're trying to give you a couple of practices that you can do this week to help us in that way. There's so many different ways to pursue righteousness in our lives. Today, I'm just really trying to help us see that, hey, the surface level stuff, it's fine, but it's not enough for what we really want, the life that we really want to have. So let me give us a couple practices that can help us do that. One is what we talked about last week, confession. Of course, you can confess to God alone, but also even better is when you find a sister or brother and you confess. And that doesn't mean you give a whole list of all your dirty secrets of everything that's gone wrong in your life, but you might say, hey, I'm going to call somebody up. Hey, I'm struggling this week. I'm struggling with doubt. I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with just sort of feeling hopeless. Hey, I haven't been very kind to my kids this week. Could you pray for me? And then have that person pray for you. Maybe they want to share as well. Another spiritual discipline that we can use in this idea of pursuing righteousness is solitude. Just taking maybe 10 minutes a day or maybe 1 hour this week and just put the phone down. Don't be around other people. This is one you don't really do in community. Don't feel the need to share your status or your reputation. Don't say, hey, I'm going to go out for an hour and be silent, right? No, don't tell anybody. Don't post it on X or whatever, you know. That's Twitter for those of you. Just go be in solitude for an hour. Some of us are scared to be in solitude because we're worried what we're going to feel, what God's going to reveal. And sometimes we just need to be silent. Go for a walk in stillness. And then the other is service. Service. Of course, there are many things we can do to pursue righteousness, but I find that when you are with a group of other believers and you begin to serve others, one, it humbles you. You're working for somebody else, not for yourself. But also, conversation happens. Story happens. You might not think you're doing confession, but confession comes out as you're serving alongside other people, and it changes your heart as well. And so consider ways that you can walk alongside others and serve. Matthew 6, we'll close here. Matthew 6, 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and God will give you everything you need. God will give you everything you need. Friends, we have this desire to be our best selves. It's a good thing. But to be our best selves is going to come by pursuing righteousness, pursuing that thing that God has for us to change our hearts. And we do it in community together. What I want to do is I want to invite us to stand. Lisa, you can come up and we're going to close in worship. But in your bulletin this morning, there's a prayer. And it's under all of these fill in the blanks that you either did or didn't do. It's in blue. It's a prayer from a man named Ted Loader. He's got a prayer book called Gorillas of Grace. And I just want us to read this prayer out loud. Okay? If you don't have the bulletin with you, that's okay. You can just close your eyes and listen to the words, or if you can share with the person next to you. Let's pray this prayer together. Oh God, let something essential happen to me. Something more than interesting or entertaining or thoughtful. Oh God, let something essential happen to me. Something awesome, something real. Speak to my condition, Lord, and change me somewhere inside where it matters. Let something happen in me, which is my real self, God. Amen.